Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch.
Presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
And when it really all comes down to just our execution, week in and week out, we feel like we can score every single time we touch the ball as an offense. I mean, we have skilled players from receivers to tight ends, to running backs, to our quarterback. Like, we have skilled players everywhere that can take the down to any given point. So just being able to utilize everybody, man, is a great thing to have and a weapon for us.
Justice Hill, he touched the ball six times last night, including 51-yard touchdown run, helping the Ravens beat the Chargers 30-23. And as you heard there, NFL Lunch, Vinny Haney, Nolan McGraw here on The Fan. When this offense is clicking and everyone's on point and executing well, almost unstoppable because of the weapons that they have.
Yeah, it's difficult. Well, Bob, the only thing that stopped them is themselves with the penalties. I mean, that's the biggest thing. I mean, that hopefully that doesn't come back to haunt them at some point, Bob, that they get into a game and, you know, like the Pittsburgh game was that. You know, along with the turnovers.
Now, before we get to the phones, real quick, we had a caller earlier mention, you know, Keaton Mitchell. Yeah. How do you incorporate him into the offensive flow? Right now, Vinny, it doesn't seem as though they you can never have enough good players. They're trying to get Deontay Johnson involved. He just seems to be reluctant to do so. But Keaton Mitchell's going to get in there sooner or later. But right now, doesn't appear to be a major need for them.
Well, right. The thing that makes it difficult for Keaton is, you know, you'd say, well, just give him some of Justice Hill's. But the thing that Justice Hill does like nobody else does on that team is pass block. So you're not taking Justice Hill out in his role because he's pass block. I mean, what he carried it four times, you know, and he had two receptions. So most times in those, you know, 22 pass attempts, he's pass blocking. And I don't know, you know, if Keaton can pass block just as good as him, then maybe so. But right now, I'm not changing that too much.
It's 5-8-1-0-5-7, the Fed NFL Lunch. Let's get out to the phones. 410-583-1057 is the number. Talking about the Ravens, eighth win of the year, 30-23 over the Chargers on the road. Samaj at Gwin Oaks. Samaj, thanks for holding. What is up?
What's up, Big Bob Haney?
How you doing, man?
What's going on, Coach?
Not much.
That's what's up. No Mac, you know the deal. Hey, Bob, I'm glad it seems as if your health has turned towards the better. Yeah, that's good stuff to know. I'm a fellow middle-aged fart. And it's always a good thing, you know, when the health cooperates.
Well, that's most appreciate important. That. Thank you very much. You got my new spectacles coming in a couple of weeks here.
No doubt. So anyway, I hope you guys give me a quick sec. So
yeah, go ahead.
I'm not going. If you guys know, I'm not the Harbaugh Kool-Aid drinker, all right. But I have a serious love and dislike thing with the guy. You know, I love him for his culture that he's established since the day he got here. Character matters, physical play matters, IQ matters, all of that. You know, but at the same time, I get irritated with him being loyal to a fault and being a complete delegator when it comes to the coordinators and when it's time for a head coach to actually be a head coach and put his foot down and say do this or that, he'll shy away from the moment. You know, he seems to always have an issue with alpha males in the room at times, you know, things like that. But My thing is, as I vented after the Steeler game, and I didn't get a chance to comment. Just for anybody don't know, I was out Pittsburgh. I went out there for that game. Let me tell y'all something, fans. Pittsburgh knows how to do a football Sunday. When you step out there and you step into that, whatever the name is, acupuncture stadium, whatever.
Acrisure.
Yeah, I know what it's called. I got a jab. But when you go out there, man, you know you are in a stadium and in a city where they've won 6 chips. I mean, I'm telling you, they do it good and they do it bad, but that's enough bell ringing for the curtain crew. So my whole thing is, as I vented last week and was pleased with last night, my thing is, man, just go out and play, win or lose, and be who we are. They always talk about, you know, the Ravens way and Ravens football, and it's all those 3 things that I mentioned. Just stick to that, you know. Don't get away from who we are. We have an established identity. It's all attributed to Harbs and his culture. We have that. Stick to it, you know what I mean? 12 carries, Henry not being on the field on a 2-point conversion. That's not who we are. That's not Raven football. We come at you. We attack, and we man up, and this next man up. All of that stuff I love. But when we shy away and we get away from who we are, from what that man has established in that locker room and on the field of play, it just irks me to no end. Win or lose, just stick to who we are. And I think more than likely we'll come out on top. You know, all the way through a chip. And that's all I got to say about that, guys. Bob, I hope you saw. I know you saw the Villanova game.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, man, this kid Queen, oh, my goodness. I was thinking Joe Smith, and then somebody said something, and it just hit the nail on the head. He's got a little bit of Joker in him, too.
Yeah.
So you talk about a Joe Smith-Joker combo as a 19-year-old freshman, and we got him down in College Park. Man, I hope they keep that NIL up, and we can feed this kid for a couple years. Thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, Samaj. Yeah, Derek Queen, yeah, who we're talking about here, was the Big Ten Rookie of the Week. He's girthier than Joe Smith. Doesn't have Joe Smith's bounce. Joe Smith was pretty athletic, but to come in and dominate as a freshman the way that he has, very similar of Joe Smith 30 years ago. Damn, 30 years ago. Anyway, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to David in Elkridge. David, thanks for holding.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, David.
So I got to call an audible on this one because he answered my talking point in the funhouse with Lamar's mechanics. But I feel like the secondary over the last 2 games has played with a whole new level of confidence with this realignment. And, like, you can tell that the communication has definitely, like, the dynamics have changed with Ardarius and Hamilton. And also, I'm not sure the numbers. You guys probably know it, but it seems like they're playing Wiggins a lot more. And as he gets more reps this season, it seems like that rookie's confidence is really starting to come out. And he's sticky, and I just can't wait till he gets his hands on a ball because I'm pretty sure he could take it the opposite way. And I just want to know, like, what have you guys seen in this new alignment of the secondary that has seen not monumental changes, but definitely some improvement and steps in the right direction towards, you know, healing that secondary?
Well, the communication's been better. And Wiggins played 75%, played 52 snaps, which is, you know, Brandon Stevens played 54. So Wiggins and Stevens played pretty much the same. And Tre'Davious White played 36 snaps. So because I think against Pittsburgh, what do you have, like 15? So he did have a more expanded,
increased role.
Yeah. The only thing that I noticed about you see the lack of catch-up speed with Tre'Davious. To me, I kind of noticed that. But he's smart in zones and knows how to play the ball. But I think the communication is the biggest thing. And probably Hamilton probably makes everybody at ease back there. You know, and Humphrey's playing well. And putting Stevens on the inside, I think that takes a little pressure off of him at times. Got a sack, you know, he blitzed and stuff. So, yeah.
And Wiggins will get in there and crack some heads if called upon to do so.
Yeah.
He's not shying away from contact.
Wiggins can run. He's got good burst. And, you know, the timing when he hit that guy to knock the ball out was very nice.
Yeah, third down play. Let's go to Brian in Owings Mills. Brian, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, Bob, man? I knew about you said something about Belichick the other day, his position. I knew about that. I was talking about just being – the CEO, the final boss.
Well, he was yelling at the Ravens for all them penalties last night on that Manning cast.
Oh, that's okay, because he'll get it straight next season. You'll see. It's all good, baby. It's all good. Hey, I keep trying to tell you, you don't listen to me. You're like, you're not going to do that.
Nope.
Trust me. You told me we weren't going to get Roquan. I said we was. Did we get him?
Well, I don't remember that, but if you say so, yeah, then I'll go ahead and take your word for it. They're not firing Harbaugh, though. I'd be floored with that.
It's not a fire, man. It's a parting ways. Like, dude, you can't win here. You suck. Thanks for the memories, but don't let the door hit you on the way out.
You don't think Harbs did a good job
no,
last
he didn't.
Night?
No, he didn't, Vinny. He sucked. And explain to me, why is he burning timeouts at the end of the game, like at the end of the half? Like, let them call the damn timeouts. You know, you're playing prevent. What are you doing? You know what I mean? You can't question that. Now, no one, not one person said anything. I'm sitting there like, what are you doing? Oh, and then let's not forget the 2-point conversion. Let's not forget. He's a mess, dude. I'm sorry. Dude, he is.
How about the fourth down calls?
I don't care about the fourth down call. Ben, he was going to do it anyway. He's going against his brother. He thought this is his MO. What are you talking about? You act like he's never done this before.
Not from his own 16.
Yeah, he's done stupid stuff before, Vinny. Trust me, especially when we was in Kansas City going for 2 points and failing. Remember that? Yeah, he's never done that before. But I'm just saying, Vinny, at the end of the day, the guy's a train wreck. You know, have as much fun as you can. I think you just like showing us. You make our ears bleed with this guy, man. I think you like torturing us. We don't torture the United States, brother. Sorry. Y'all have a good one.
All right, here's Brian and Owings Mills. So that's a one fire Harbs today. Versus zero. It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. We'll come back, take more of your phone calls at 410-583-1057. Vinny's Feeble Five coming up as well. Who are the five worst teams in the National Football League? Stay tuned for that. And then a funhouse trip, Nolan McGraw, before Inside Access takes over at 2. Five worst teams in the NFL through 12 weeks heading into week 13. Before we get back to the phones, Vinny and Joe, hang tight. You're next. North Carolina,
no.
College football, Mac Brown.
Yeah, Mac 73, and he's got 100 wins at Texas and North Carolina. So he's had a hell of a career. He was my receiver coach at Iowa State, and then he was our offensive coordinator when I was at Iowa State. So I've known Mac for a long, long time. Good. He went back to North Carolina just because he loved it there and he wanted to get them going again because they were struggling mightily. And he got them back to winning again. And he's got 3 years left on a contract, Bob. I'm guessing he's probably making, I don't know, $5, $6 million a year. So Mac's not hurting for money. So phenomenal career. Won national championship at Texas. And, great football guy. Great football guy.
We're coming out of Chapel Hill that Mac Brown, relieved of his duties, told today by Bobby Cunningham, athletic director at North Carolina. He will coach the season finale against NC State this weekend. No decision on whether or not he'll coach in the bowl game.
If they are
bowl eligible.
If I'm a betting man, I say no. I say he probably doesn't, and one of the guys on the staff does it. We'll see what Bubba does to hire some. Bubba was a PR dude at Notre Dame when I was there.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's get back to the phones. Ravens win last night, 30-23 over the Chargers. Now 8-4 in the year, 2.5-point favorites is the early line against the Eagles, who come to town Sunday, winners of 7 in a row. Joe and Woodbury. Joe, what's up?
What's up, my brothers? How y'all doing today?
Doing all right,
wonderful.
Joe.
I'm hearing the guys ask about Keaton Mitchell.
Yeah.
I just told a guy, I say, man, hopefully they're working on some stuff for him and with him. Now, I'm going to tell you something I ain't seen in a while. Been years since I've seen. They were talking about how Ravens, you don't normally see that eye set, right? When was the last time we seen a pro set? I think it might have been recent somebody did it, but I'm remembering when you had a pro set and one of those backs went in motion. Now, as a defense, something you ain't seen, never seen, probably ain't seen in 20-whatever years, and that back that go in motion is Keaton Mitchell. Now, either when he goes up the side, let's say, I don't know how his hands is. I really don't know.
He's got good hands.
Right, so now you see where I'm going with this, Vinny, because I'm thinking about how Joe Washington used to do stuff like that for the Colts, and he was fast. I'm seeing Keaton Mitchell go up that sideline with a linebacker on him, and he's gone. Then other than that, you still, and this is Justice Hill in there with him. That's the combination I think me and y'all or somebody else was talking about. They haven't done it yet, but hopefully they're working on some stuff like that because they need to be diversive. They need to be strategical. They need to be witty. And I'm talking about the offensive coordinator. Sort of like Andy Reid in a way, but better than Andy Reid. And if they ain't picked up on how to be, oh, here's the main word, be deceptive. I don't see it in him, but, you know, maybe he'll learn. See, if they call me, I could give him plays, and we'd win a couple of Super Bowls, because I'm real deceptive, y'all. But anyway, y'all have a great day, man. Thanks. Nice taking my call.
There's Joe. And we said it earlier, Keaton Mitchell will have a role eventually in this year's offense.
Maybe, Bob, after the bye, that then he'll have time to kind of study things and see how they can use him going down the stretch.
I mean, you've got Derrick Henry. Ravens are 5-0 when he touches the ball 20 times plus.
Yep.
So you don't want to limit his opportunities, but we're cutting into the timeshare of Justice Hill, I guess. And is that a prudent thing to do right now?
Well, the thing is, if he cut down on all those penalties, then there's more plays to be run. How about that way?
Good point. Yeah. Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Let's go to Essex. It's Gene. Gene, you're on The Fan. What's up?
Hey, guys, doing Vinny, Bob. Good afternoon.
Hey, Gene.
Yep. Hey, look, I want to weigh in on the caller that was blasting Harbaugh a few calls ago.
That was Brian and Owings Mills.
I look back at the Cleveland game when we were running on them, and they got the ball, and we were moving the ball, and their coach was calling timeouts to kind of reset the defense and get them in place and get them in play. I think that Harbs took that over the last two games, and I think he's applied that the last two games, and I have no problem with it whatsoever because at the end of the day, we stopped them, and I think it was a big part in Harbaugh calling them timeouts and not letting them get momentum. What do you guys think? I'll hang up.
All right. Thank you, Gene. Defending John Harbaugh and the clock management and some of the decisions there.
Yeah, I mean, I normally don't have too many problems with John's decision-making unless it's, you know, something really obvious. Like, I had no problem with the two-point play. The biggest thing I had, you know, in the Pittsburgh game was the two-point play, and Harb's had a problem with it, too. So, I think Harb's a good football coach. And I don't have any problems with Harbs whatsoever. Does every coach make a call or two that you go, probably so. Even Andy Reid does. Joe Gibbs did it. You know, he called two timeouts in a row when we were playing Buffalo one time. So, and he's, you know, one of the greatest coaches ever. So they all do it.
Yeah. I think Joe Gibbs' fastball had already left him by that time. 1984 Joe Gibbs probably doesn't make rules had changed a little bit too, so he was busy watching them NASCARs fly around that track for a long time. Let's go to Jordan in Annapolis. Jordan, what's up?
Hey, Andy, how you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Good.
So I got a question. All right, so that penalty on Ricard, and I want to hear your thoughts on this. Because I'm thinking, like, I get how they call that a penalty. I was just upset because I feel like they should throw that flag when they actually chop block him. Because now you could say that Bud Dupree made a really good play avoiding him. But, like, that flag for 15 yards, that just sucks. And I know that's not really a big thing, but do you guys actually think that should be a penalty if they miss him?
No, it's not supposed to be. Norm read the rule, and you have to make contact on the leg whip. And he didn't make contact. And it didn't look like he was really trying to go after him.
He whiffed on everything.
Yeah.
I mean, did, like, a fraction of a cleat maybe clip the cap or something like that?
Right, and I seem to remember an instance a few weeks back. It might have been that Browns game where Lamar took a sack.
Yes.
And he was trying to escape. Was it Jock? Was it Owusu-Koramoah? Whoever it was, Browns defender, stuck his leg out and tripped Lamar. Actually made contact. He goes down, loss of yardage, a sack, whatever you want to call it. No flag. And Ravens fans were up in arms at the time saying, hey, what's going on there? Lamar was sitting there perplexed. And then you get last night where it's just barely, if he did touch him, just barely, and the flag's out.
Well, how many barelys with flags out last? I mean, we saw a lot of barelys last night.
Yeah, they were anything and everything.
Vinny at 81057 The Fan. When we come back, Feeble Five. Ain't no barely's here. The five worst teams in the NFL. Vinny's going to tell you who they are. Then we got a funhouse trip with Nolan McGraw. Inside Access takes over two. Ravens win, but we're off to the Eagles starting tomorrow on the show. It's Woman Crush Wednesday. It's a short week because of the Thanksgiving holiday. So we're talking about Philly starting tomorrow. Philadelphia, 9-2, winners of 7 in a row. They're first place in their division, and they're underdogs here in Baltimore.
How in the world?
Vinny and Haney's Feeble Five.
It has been a nightmare for this team.
The handful of teams we wish the Ravens were playing.
You suck.
105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan here on this Turn It Up Tuesday. It's a victory Tuesday. Ravens win last night 23-20. Or 30-23, excuse me, over the Chargers. Ravens now 8-4 in the year. Nice bounce back win after that difficult, frustrating loss to the Steelers. For the Chargers, their four-game winning streak comes to an end. Earlier in the show, Vinny did the Dirty Dozen, the 12 best teams, and both Baltimore and the Chargers were in it. If you're just tuning into the program, now we get to the opposite end of the spectrum, the five worst teams through 12 weeks, the Feeble Five.
All righty, let's look back to week 12. One was Jacksonville, two was the Giants, three was Vegas, four Tennessee, five Cleveland. So coming in at number five, 3-9 New England.
You suck!
They lost at the Dolphins 34-15. They're hosting Indy. Offensive tackle, Vandarian Lowe has made eight starts. In those eight starts, he's been called for 11 penalties, including three false starts on Sunday.
Well, he's consistent.
Yes. Yes. Coming in at number four, 3-8 New York Jets.
You suck!
They were on bye, and they're hosting Seattle. Aaron Rodgers has thrown for 225 yards in six of those 11 games.
He's thrown for 225 yards.
Yes.
And apparently Aaron Rodgers doesn't want to play for the Jets anymore.
No, he just said up there that he would prefer to play in New York.
The Giants?
He says because you win in New York, it's, you know.
Maybe he meant New York State.
Yeah.
He's gunning for the Bills.
Yeah, I think they're good at quarterback. But someone should break the news to Aaron Rodgers, and I know he's a very intelligent guy. He is an ayahuasca enthusiast. He's not winning in New York. He's losing. They've already fired the coach and the general manager, who are all in on you.
Coming in at 3-9 Vegas.
You suck.
Yeah, they do. They lost at Denver 29-19. They're at Kansas City on Friday, Black Friday. The Raiders, they've allowed points in 13 consecutive quarters. Of those 13, they have allowed a TD in 10 of them.
Well, not exactly your father's Raiders, is it?
No.
The laughing stock franchise used to be one of the proud franchises in all of sports. Yeah. Forget about the NFL, but boy, they have made a Super Bowl in what, over 20 years?
Antonio Pierce, one and done.
Yeah, it looks like that. And not the Carl Anthony Towns, one and done, going to the pros and being a top five pick sort of thing.
Coming in at 2-9 Jacksonville.
You suck!
They were on bye. They're hosting Houston. The Jags have allowed their opponents to convert 50% or more on third down in seven of their last 11 games.
Might be why they have a long losing streak.
Oh, boy.
Heading here.
Yes. And there'll be a lot of changes after that season, too. And coming in at number one, the 2-9 New York Giants.
You suck!
They lost to Tampa 30-7. They're at Dallas Thursday. I would recommend to everybody, if you're planning mealtime for Thursday, 3:30 to 6:30 is a good time. That's when the Giants and Cowboys are playing.
Right. Or don't eat the turkey sandwich early or you'll be asleep by 4:30.
The Giants have gone 10 consecutive games without an interception, tying an NFL record with the 76-77 Niners and the 2017 Raiders.
And those teams all have in common, they're not that good.
And Bob, what we were talking about earlier, what was the kid's name from Green Bay that leads the league in
interceptions? McKinney.
McKinney leads the league in interceptions with 7. And who'd he play for last year? The Giants. So in summary, Giants 1, Jacksonville 2, Raiders 3, Jets 4, New England 5. Two, Bob, two of those teams are from the AFC East.
It's 5881057 The Pen. Here's the schedule in totality for week 13. Three games Thursday. Vinny mentioned the Giants at Dallas. Dallas minus four, by the way, coming off that win at Washington where they were fist fighting in the stands. I guess that happens at high school games now, peewee games. If there's a football game, somebody's fighting. Bears at Lions. I mentioned it earlier. We also talked to Chris Bubaka about this. I think Detroit wins, but I could see Chicago covering that 10.5. They were spirited last week against Minnesota. But, hey, Lions at home, different animal, no pun intended. 10.5-point spread. The late game Thursday, Dolphins at the Pack. It's going to be cold as hell by the time they kick off at 8:20 at Lambeau Field.
Now, Bob, will you be – I'll probably be tending towards – being in bed a little earlier on Thursday night, probably.
No. We have people over, kids in it to win it. I mean, when I don't have to work the next day, I mean, the trained professional comes to life. Friday, the Black Friday game. Hey, Nolan, you going to stand in line for save $40 on a television on Friday?
Is that even a thing anymore? I feel like all the deals are online.
Yeah, duh. I mean, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't stand in line if they were giving them away for free.
It's about the experience.
But that's me. Anyway, the Raiders at the Chiefs, Kansas City minus 13 Sunday's game. Phillies at Baltimore, Ravens 2.5-point favorites. That's 4:25. We will be at Horseshoe Casino Brew Brothers starting at, 1 o'clock?
Yep.
For the Baltimore Game Day Uncensored pregame show. Chargers at Atlanta. Chargers coming off the loss. But Atlanta, man, it looked like they were going to run away with the NFC South, and they've been getting their asses kicked the last couple of weeks.
Defense has been bad.
Young Hay has struggled a little bit.
Yeah, the kicker's killing them.
Steelers at Cincinnati, 1 o'clock. Bengals minus 3 coming off a bye. Cardinals at the Vikings. Cardinals laid an egg against Seattle this past weekend. Minnesota survived. Chicago Vikings, they've won 4 in a row. They're 9-2. Quietly. That's a quiet 9-2.
No doubt. When I was doing the Dirty Dozen, I said, damn, they're 9-2.
Colts 5-7 at the Pats. Indy minus 3. Chris Bumbaka thinks Indy could maybe steal that division. I don't see it. Houston would have to lose every game. Unless Tennessee gets a rocket up their rear end, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't see that either.
They would have to, because what are they, 6-5?
They're 7-5.
7-5.
Colts are 5-7. I mean, they're two out, but we've all seen the Colts.
Indy have to go 5-1.
I don't know, man. Either way, that's why they play the games, Nolan. There's your cliche. Seahawks at the Jets, as Vinny said. Seattle minus 2.5. Tennessee, speaking of them, they're at Washington. Commanders minus 5.5 for that one.
That could be an interesting one, Bob, because Tennessee's defense is very good.
Who's the defensive coordinator there?
Denard Wilson.
Came from where?
The Baltimore Ravens.
And went to Maryland. Either way. Houston at Jacksonville. Texans, speaking of them, they're 5-point favorites there. Rams at New Orleans. L.A. minus 3. Tampa's at the Panthers. Tampa minus 6. Carolina, they had 1-2 in a row, gave Kansas City all they wanted and then some. I wouldn't automatically put a W next to Tampa in this one. But they could catch Atlanta.
Yeah. Evans is, Baker's just playing so good, you know. But I like the way Bryce Young's playing, too.
He's got something going on. And then Sunday Night Football, San Francisco's at Buffalo. Bills in the cold, minus 7 there. Buffalo 9-2, 5-0 at home. And then Monday Night Football, Cleveland at Denver. The Broncos making a run at the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl with Peyton Manning. That's 10 years ago, almost. And Cleveland, at home, this would be a more interesting game, but at Denver, that 5.5, I think, is appropriate.
Yep.
It's 5881057. The Fan will come back, take a trip to the Funhouse. Nolan McGraw. Then Inside Access takes over at 2 o'clock. Don't forget, tomorrow, Woman Crush Wednesday, get you ready for the Eagles and the Ravens. Ravens trying to hand Philadelphia their first loss in a long time. And we have Maryland basketball on the Fan tomorrow as well. The top 7 seeds in the AFC, Kansas City, in order, Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Houston. There's your division champions.
Mm-hmm.
Your 3 wild cards, Baltimore, LA Chargers, and Denver. So meaning the Chiefs would have the bye, Buffalo would host Denver, Pittsburgh would host the Chargers, and Houston would host the Ravens. 7 teams, right? Just to clarify. I get confused. Give my old-timer's disease. NFC. Philly or excuse me, Detroit, Philly, Seattle, Atlanta, Minnesota, Green Bay, Washington. Lions would have the bye. Philly would host Washington. Seattle would host the Packers. Oof. And Atlanta would host Minnesota. So you have two division champs right now with 6-5 records. Well, leaders, shall we say. Like teams like Arizona, Tampa, Rams, San Francisco on the outside looking in the NFC, AFC, Miami's clanking around. Same with the Colts. And I mean, we talked about the Bengals. You know, would behoove them to beat Pittsburgh, obviously.
Oh, they got to. They got to win out.
Yeah, and then they can maybe get a little hot, and we'll see. But that's your playoff standings as we sit here 2 days before Thanksgiving. Nolan, any closing thoughts for the people here?
I'm so done with the Bengals. I mean, enough. Enough is enough. I know technically, like Vinny said, and I just pulled up the schedule, there is a path, right? They could win out. You look at their opponents. Who's the toughest in the bunch there? It's Pittsburgh. They get them twice. But the rest, I mean, we're talking Cowboys, Titans, maybe even the Browns again. I mean, it's terrible. I'm so sick of them hanging around late in the season, year after year. They shoot themselves in the foot. They lose their first two or three games. There's no reason a team should do that year after year and still be in contention in late in the season.
Well, if they lose to the Pittsburgh Steelers, it's going to be a moot point.
Yes.
Then stick a fork in them. All right, fun house.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The Rudeness Tuneness Text Reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that quick draw.
105.7 The Fan.
Let's start with this texter who says the defense looked better and faster without Roquan Smith last night. I think they should definitely keep blitzing at a higher rate as well. Looked pretty good when they pulled that out last night.
Did they look faster without Roquan? Looked awful fast against Pittsburgh. So I would tend to disagree with that part, just because I think if they put Roquan in there and then just use a rotational group, you know what's going to be interesting to see is okay, you got Roquan out there, and all of a sudden Board and you know and maybe Harrison and stuff are playing on that other side, then does it make his life a lot easier?
Speaking of Harrison, Matt in New Orleans checking in says, I was wrong in my prediction yesterday. Surprised with how well they played traveling west. Back-to-back solid performances on defense. And pair that with Malik Harrison, who was noticeably knocking Chargers all over the field all night. Great to see that from him.
Yeah. And going west, they were there on Saturday. I mean, they fly out there on Saturday. So, you know, I mean, that when you go east coast to west, I mean, and if you did it normally over the summer. The first night when you get there, like, you go to bed about 8 o'clock because that's 11 o'clock, and then you're up about 4 in the morning, and then the next day it's pretty normal.
This texter here said, did I watch the Pro Bowl last night? End of the first half, 7 seconds left. Chargers had the ball on their own 49. The call for the Ravens defense was to not rush the quarterback. They had three defensive linemen just stand there and do nothing. I'm personally calling Harbaugh and Zach Orr morons for that play. Why would you let the quarterback comfortably have all day to throw to an open receiver?
Well, I'm guessing if you're dropping eight, you're hoping that the receivers aren't going to be open. That's what you're kind of hoping.
That was a hell of a throw, by the way.
Yeah, he made some great throws. Yeah. You know, some throws that were not caught that he made that were spectacular.
Glenn in Baltimore says, Lamar doesn't lose to the NFC. Let's pull that stat out again ahead of this Sunday. He's expecting here a great crowd as well. Ravens going to keep this thing going. All I ask is, Harbaugh gets an extension, actually, so people can have a heart attack before all this gravy on Thursday.
Well, he's got a few more years left on his deal anyhow, I think. I don't know for sure, but I think he's got a couple.
Hey, who knows? I mean, they could win the Super Bowl this year, and he might peace out.
Yeah.
You never know. And if that happens, he's going to Canton.
No doubt.
I mean, he's built up a pretty strong resume as it is. You add another Super Bowl to the equation, you might as well get that bust ready. along with Andy Reid. Wouldn't that be crazy if he wins? Anyway, oh, yeah. Well, they both can't win the Super Bowl, can they? Have they changed the rules? I can't keep up with it anymore. Nolan McGraw, NVIDIA 81057, the Fan. We're back tomorrow, 10 o'clock. It's Woman Crush Wednesday, but getting you ready for the Eagles. It's a short week. Anything else that happens over the next few hours in the world of sports, we'll address that as well. For Nolan McGraw, Vinny Serrato, I'm Bob Haney. Inside Access coming up next. Stay safe, stay healthy. Talk to you in the morning. For now, class dismissed.